Come on into the egg holder. It looks like a beautiful dozen colored eggs. Woo! Look at there. There is a red wasp. There's a red wasp. It's coming by the babies. There's an angry red wasp coming by my mama's baby. Y'all, look, let me give a couple of announcements while we're here. While I got your attention, we're going to be having our 101 membership class. We're going to be having the young adult, the youth edition, the next couple Sundays. Sunday night at 5 o'clock for 5 o'clock. Sunday night, April 3rd and April 10th. And I'll be leading that. And we're going to be talking about to our young folks what it means to be a member at Christ Community Church. And it's just, I'm excited that we're going to be doing this. Hey, I'm excited to see everybody. Let's give the Lord just a praise, a little hand raise praise right now. Y'all so good looking. On April 24th, we're going to have, it's going to start a series, a revival series for us that we're calling Year One. It's a revival. It's a time to come be renewed, restored. We're calling it Year One in the Promised Land. And that's going to be April 24th to 27th. Now, if y'all would, listen real close, because I want to ask y'all a personal favor. Okay? Listen real close. A personal favor. And I know this would be not just on my behalf, but on behalf of many people. But Dr. Steve Wilkes, can y'all hear me? Dr. Steve Wilkes is in a coma. He's on life support. He's my friend, my mentor. He was my professor in seminary. He helped found Christ Community Church. He helped make the connection between me and Christ Community and Christ Community's founding pastor, Kevin Smith. And so he's had a big to-do. He's helped us go on mission. He's helped us teach people about Jesus. He, about 2 o'clock in the morning this past Thursday, he wasn't breathing. It wasn't a heart attack. It wasn't a stroke. It wasn't a blood clot. We don't know what it was. They think he's been without oxygen, though, before they resuscitated, before they were breathing for him, for over 30 minutes. They said he's brain dead. It's my good friend. But it's Easter Sunday. He's still on that ventilator. Later on today, they're going to come to his wife and his only daughter and say, they're going to say it's time to take him off that ventilator. So this is what I want to ask you all as a favor. Would you please pray for him? I'm going to ask, and I don't care. I'm not a doctor, so I don't have to care about all the medical stuff. I'm praying that God bring him back. Because Jesus was all dead. And on Easter Sunday, he rose again from the grave. Y'all, you get me? I believe in big old miracles. I believe in big old red wasps. Well, somebody got to get some relief up here. Someone take that thing out. They sent Caroline to take care of it. That's how. Anyway.
Show a little faith, Pastor.
I'm showing it. I believe that thing would sting me in the eye. But I will survive. But it's Easter Sunday. What God did in the case of Jesus Christ is much bigger than what he'd have to do in the case of Steve Wilkes. You know, that might not be God's will. That might not be what God wants. Maybe God's taking him home and maybe that's what he wants. We're okay with that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just praying for a miracle. A sure enough God miracle. Would you all do that? I'm going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask God, if you all pray with me, but please remember him throughout this day. We're just praying for a miracle. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this opportunity we have to get together and just be your people, to be the body of Christ, to be so colorful and so alive and so joyous because of what you've done for us in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we're united right now in one accord as a group with many other Christians throughout the world, not just in Mississippi, but he impacted people around the world, that you, Father, would raise up Steve Wilkes, that you'd bring life back into his brain, that you'd bring life to his lungs, that he might be able to breathe without that machine, and that you'd completely heal him. We're yielded to your will. We know you're able, but Father, we just ask and plead, bring him back. Bring him back. He has a fruitful labor yet to do. He has questions yet to answer. He has students yet to teach. He has people yet to win to the Lord. I feel it. So Lord, just be with him and bring him back. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betrayed. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has come, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming. One, hallelujah, holy.
Grace, how can it be? I was supposed to say something after that.
A little choked. This next song we're going to do is a new one. And I just want to read the chorus to you because it's really, really good. It says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freely, forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day.
Glory.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I don't know if we did that right, but God knows how to interpret our best effort. You just give it to Him. That's what he's saying up here. He's saying, just give it to Him. Just give it to Him. And y'all, listen, God is so good. So glad to see y'all today. What we're going to speak on, and we're all staying together. So if you're a little bit cold, especially, girls, you look like you're free. That air is dumping right on you, isn't it? Y'all need to, if you're cold, you need to get by somebody. Get by them. There we go. Get by somebody if you're cold. Because in back is hot. We're going to figure that whole thing out. But we're so glad that you're here. We're going to talk about knowing Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. It's a gracious relationship that He allows us to have with Him. Y'all get that? It's just a relationship based on grace. And we're going to talk about personally how the resurrection of Jesus Christ affects individuals. How it affects you and me. How it works on us. What it does. What it looks like. There may be some times when the Lord has been working in your life and maybe you didn't give Him credit for it. I hope that after today you'll say, wait a minute. That thing that happened in my life, that wasn't by chance. That was God working in my life through Christ. Maybe you've been here today and you'll say, I need hope because I'm full of despair. I pray that when you go out of here, you'll say, because Jesus Christ lives, I can face tomorrow. There's a hope for me. There's a reason for my existence. There's a way for me to be restored and forgiven. Our focus verse is going to be Philippians 3:10. It says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for this time. Thank You for allowing us to gather together in the name of Jesus to lift You up in song, to preach Your word, and Father, to watch You do what You do. Because God, Jesus is alive, He continues to work today, and we're so thankful. I'm thankful for how He's worked in my life. I'm thankful for how He's worked in the life of my family and friends and folks in church and folks around the world that I've got to see come to Christ. Father, it's only because You live. It's only because Christ is risen and is alive that these things happen. Our prayer has only one hope. It's that Jesus Christ is alive and that He says, Father, hear them. And Lord, we give You all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm convinced of this more now than ever. Christ wants us to know Him. Not just know about Him. Anybody who can read can pick up a Bible, open to the Gospels, and find out things about Jesus. You can go to a bookstore probably and get Trivial Pursuit Bible edition and learn some things about Jesus. You can probably go to an atheistic website where they don't like Jesus and learn some things about Jesus. You could call up a demon. You ought not, but you can call them up and they say they believe and they know things about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus wants you to know Him personally. Real. Face to face. Eyeball to eyeball. He wants to know deep down in your heart. And we come together, and I told y'all look like a bunch of Easter eggs to me. I'm just looking out. It's so awesome. Looking out, we just got a bunch of Easter eggs out here. It's so pretty. It's just a collage. I know it's pretty. If it's pretty to me, God's loving it, you know. He made beautiful things and beautiful people. He made some ugly people too, but He loves me. He loves me. But He wants to know what's going on inside. And can I tell you this? I believe Jesus Christ is the only answer to a lot of questions we have. I believe He's the only hope for a lot of problems that we carry. And I just want to share with you three stories. Three stories from the Scripture. We're going to be in John chapter 20 and 21. I want you to hear this. When Jesus rose from the dead, He chose to speak individually with three people. You know, He spoke to some crowds. He spoke to a group. But the Scripture singles out these three people that He spoke to after the resurrection. after he came back to life. He spoke to him just personally about what was going on in his life. Like, hey, let me tell you something. And let me tell you about those people. They were perfect people without any problems, and they pleased God with their own self-righteousness. Wait a minute. That's not the case. These people weren't self-righteous Pharisees. These people were not the religious elite. They were not people without problems. They were people with problems, and Jesus chose to speak to them. And I want you to catch the power of the resurrection of Jesus when you have a personal relationship with him. The first story is about Mary. Mary Magdalene. She's one of the first people at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, so special. She was just special to Jesus. She got freed of things that were binding her up. She made her whole life around the fact that she found somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would forgive her of all her sins, who would free her from all her possessions and obsessions. Somebody who could do what nobody else could do. Somebody who would stand up for her and be security to her. And she wrapped her whole world around Jesus Christ. Now, on Good Friday, you know what happened, right? They crucified him. He was dead. What did that mean about her heart? What happened to the heart of Mary Magdalene on Good Friday? What happened? Y'all know what happened to her. She was sad. Her heart was broken. Her life was shattered. Her dreams were crushed. Y'all, anybody here can relate to that? Let me tell you, let me give you a word for it. She was in despair. She was despairing of life. I don't know if y'all have ever been down that road. I don't know if anybody can relate to maybe, you know, you're walking one, maybe you got married and everything was so fine and everything seemed to be going as planned and everything was going in order and things seemed okay. And then one day all that comes to a screeching halt and you're no longer a family and things get crushed and you don't know what to do. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was somebody else's fault. Maybe it was everybody's fault. But you are crushed. Anybody been crushed like that? Maybe you've gone through medical things that have just wore you right down to the bone. And you're despairing of life. Can you relate to that? Maybe you had something maybe not as dramatic, maybe seeming to somebody else. Maybe you had a dream. A dream of being in business for yourself. Of being independent, of seeing things work, and it never came about. Maybe you were an athlete. One of the most despairing parts of my life is when my wrestling career came to an end. It wasn't voluntary. I would have wrestled forever. I just wasn't good enough to. And I got beat. And that last defeat ended not just my day at the tournament, it ended my whole career. It was done. Whatever I thought I was going to do, I wasn't going to do. It was crushing. Imagine this is a cup. What is a cup? You don't have to use much imagination. Imagine it's a thin glass cup. One of those real, real fine ones, you know, just real skinny, skinny, skinny glass. And you took it and you just dropped it from way up high on a concrete floor. What would happen? It'd just be broke. It'd just be pieces. You couldn't put it back together again. Just pieces of a shattered heart. Who can help that? Have you ever been in that place when you said, "Who can help me? I don't know who can help me." My friend Steve, he's in a place. If he's conscious at all inside his brain, I'm going to tell you, he's thinking, "Who can help me?" No one can help him right now but God. His life is shattered through sickness. Her life was shattered through heartbreak. Who can put me back together again? Let me read the scripture to you. Chapter 20, verse 16 of the book of John. I give you the extended passage so that you can study it later, but I want to see knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection, even in our despair. She's weeping. She's shattered. Broken pieces of heart all over the place. And then she hears this. Jesus says to her, "Mary." He just calls her name. How simple. How intimate. She knew who it was. She heard his voice. See, she was a sheep of Jesus, and his sheep know his voice. Mary, she turns around. She says, "Teacher, Jesus, is that really you? I know who can make my heart whole now. I know how that can happen. He says, she says, Rabboni, which is teacher. And he says, hold on, honey. Because she like flung herself. I don't know if you ever seen like my kids when I come home, if I've been gone long, they do that kid thing where they fling themselves on you. Kind of like just, and she grabbed him up. And he says, don't, you can't cling to me yet. Hold on. I've got something for you to do. He says, go tell my brothers that I'm alive. Not only does he heal her heart back up, but he gives her the most important mission in history to be a missionary to the missionaries, an apostle to the apostles. And he says, honey, not only do you got hope, but you got reason to live. Pick your heart up and go do what I've told you to do. And she was so happy to. You know, I bet you couldn't have made Mary mad a whole lot after that. What were you going to tell her? See, she done lost her whole world, but in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, she got it back. I don't know where you are in your despair. Maybe you've lost your whole world, but the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life is to give us a hope and to give us a purpose. He did that for Mary. He can do that for you. Maybe you're here in despair. Maybe you need hope. Call out to Jesus Christ. That's the power of the resurrection in that gracious relationship. There's another relationship. There's a fellow named Thomas. This is in John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. I'm just going to read part of this passage. It's a little shorter. Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came the first time. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, catch this now, I will not believe." Now I wonder how many people even gather up here and they say they will not believe. They've decided not to believe. That was the case in Thomas. It was too big a jump. He wasn't going to believe. It's like Thomas had a little box. And in that box, Jesus operated. He walked around with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was one of the 12 disciples. He knew him so well. If there were some people who needed food and there was only a few loaves and a few fish, he would pop that box. Go get them, Jesus. Go get them. But, you know, when there was something else going on, even the raising of Lazarus, go get them, Jesus. He would say, go get them. He believed Jesus could do all those things. He had that box. But we found out that box had a lid on it, because when Jesus died, even though Jesus had told him he was going to come back from the dead, Thomas put that lid on that box. He's like, that story's over. I will not believe that he can come out of that box, that tomb-shaped box with that stone in front of the door. I will not believe he can do that. Can I tell you, there's many people in the church today, even I believe, who say, I don't believe. They limit Jesus Christ. He can only do this much. What I can see, what I can define, what I can understand, what I can rationalize, what I can justify, anything beyond that. I just don't believe. I won't believe. I'll tell you, you're not going to be able to see all that God does. But I encourage you to believe. I encourage you to believe that Jesus Christ is able to take the lid off that box. Just like he took the stone off that tomb. He didn't need it anymore. He don't need the box anymore. He's loose. He didn't need none of that mess no more. I appreciate it. Somebody's always trying to put the stone back on. He didn't need it. Thank you. He didn't need it. You know what I'm saying? He's gone out of there. He's not there. He's risen. Somewhere the church has got to say, we follow a risen Lord. There ain't no box. Let's put it all away and walk with them in this life. This is how Jesus got to Thomas. If you're a doubter, if you have these doubts, this is where I want to bring you. Jesus met up with Thomas again. I want you to hear what he says in verse 27. It says, reach your fingers here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. You know what Jesus did for Thomas who doubted? the gracious part of that resurrection power. He took him back to the cross. And this is what he wanted to say. Thomas, I am sufficient for you. Look at the holes in my hand. I've paid it all for you, my friend. I took the lashes on my back. I took the spear in my side. I took the crown of thorns on my head. I took the nails in my feet, in my hands. And I rose from the dead because I can do it. Stop doubting and believe. That's exactly what he was doing. Can I tell you, friend, come back to the cross when you doubt. If you ever doubt Jesus is enough, you come back to the cross. And you remember the guy who died for your sins, he's alive and well today. And the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can give you faith and give you a loyalty like you've never seen. This one right here, Thomas, remember what he said? I will not believe. Jesus told him, you need to stop doubting and start believing. And then he brought him to the cross. He showed him. And this is what Thomas answered in verse 28. And I can't imagine he was standing up. I imagine he kneeled down. I imagine he got down on his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. What a transformation of faith from I will not believe to my Lord and my God. Y'all get that? That is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. It'll change it from doubting to believing. Amen? I believe I can get up off my knees. Thank you, Lord. One more person I want to show you. Maybe two. One more here in the scripture. John 21. Over in 15, verse 15 to 19. 15 to 18. He's talking to Peter. Do y'all remember what Peter did? We do. Peter denied Jesus Christ. Can you think of any worse sins? We sin against each other. We've done some things, but he flat out lied, and his lie was this: I don't even know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See that guy y'all beating over yonder? I don't even know him. I'm not from his place. I'm not his disciple. I don't know him. I don't recognize who? Jesus who? Could you say that again? Jesus? Let me think. No, I don't know him. Worse was his sin was based on his own pride. Jesus said, Peter, you will betray me 3 times. Peter said, I will not. Jesus says, you will. Peter said, I will not. Jesus said, uh-huh. Peter said, mm-mm. Jesus said, let's see. He said, all right, bring it on. And there they were. Little girl comes and says, aren't you one of his disciples? No. Uh-uh. Standing by the fire. Wait, you're from Galilee. You're one of them. No, I don't even know him. Shoot, I don't know what you're talking about. And then Malchus, the cousin of Malchus, who got their ear chopped off, says, you chopped off my cousin's ear. He had a weird accent like that. You chopped off my cousin's ear, and now I've come to take revenge. And Peter said, I can't even tell you what Peter said. He was cussing. He was taking vows and cussing that he did not know Jesus. Luke's gospel records that when the cock crowed, when the rooster crowed, he realized what happened. And that he looked across the courtyard and he met eyes with Jesus. And then it says he wept bitterly. He felt so ashamed. You know, right before Peter denied, there was another guy. You might remember his name. If you remember his name, you can just call it out. But he really liked money. He really wanted to see Jesus come to power. He decided through demonic, you know, inspiration to go betray Jesus for money. Y'all remember his name? He was out there. He was doing some things. And when he came to the end and he realized he had done something wrong, he figured he would handle it himself. And you remember how he handled it himself? How'd he handle it himself? Yeah. Because can I tell you, if you don't let God restore you, there's no restoration for you. Judas is a good example of that. Peter wept bitterly, though. He felt so ashamed. Have you ever felt ashamed? Have you ever blown it? Has the fault ever landed squarely on your shoulders? Not where you can rationalize it. Well, I'm a victim of society. I was raised in a single-parent home, and I didn't have Nintendo. I had Sega, and everybody knows that Sega wasn't good as Nintendo. And we, all we had was the stations, you know, that you can flip to on the TV. Didn't even have a remote. Didn't have cable. Didn't have air conditioning. Didn't have. It snowed every day. Uphill both ways to school. Blah 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 blah. Poor pitiful me. Blah 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 blah. Okay, have you ever gotten past that junk and said, you know what happened? I blew it. I did it. I sinned. I've completely failed. I've utterly let everybody down. Have you ever been there? Who gets you back from that? See, Judas didn't trust Jesus enough to come back to it. I feel bad. I feel sorry. But, you know, he took it into his own hands. Peter, he brought his shame. He brought the denial. He brought his sin. And he's eating breakfast with Jesus. And chapter 21, verse 15 says this. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to him, Simon Peter, or he said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Judah, son of Jonah. I'm going to read the scripture because it says it right in there. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lamb. He's going to ask him that question two more times. A total of three times. Why do you reckon Jesus asked him that three times? So that he would understand that each denial had been forgiven, that he had been completely restored, that there was a witness that said, son, you're free because you've been forgiven your sins. Because I died for him, I furthermore rose. And I'm the judge, and I judge that you are restored. Does anybody here need to be forgiven of their sins today and know that they're restored? Because it's the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ that let Peter know he was restored. Because if we just left it at the cross, if we just left it there and Jesus didn't come back, Peter would have lived his life out the rest of his days with his head hung low in shame. He wouldn't have preached the first sermon at the church. He wouldn't have been there when they baptized 3,000 souls that first day. He wouldn't have gave his life in Rome for the glory of God and bore the ultimate witness. But because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ working in Simon Peter, not only did Jesus say, you're forgiven, but he said, go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. Jesus put back into his hands, into the hands of Simon Peter, the man who denied, he put the leadership of the church. He said, you're going to lead my people. You're going to take care of them. You're going to feed them. You're going to pastor them. You're going to love them. Can I tell you, there's a lot of unworthy pastors out there who are only pastoring because God knew how to restore them and put the shepherd's staff back in their hand and say, because you've been forgiven, because you've been restored, I have a mission for you. Can I tell you, if you think you've blown it, if you're a husband and you're out here and you've blown it 100 times, would you give it another shot? Because Jesus Christ can restore you back to the place of spiritual leadership in your home. If you're a wife and you've blown it, if you're a mom and dad and you say, I just don't know how to get back on board, get on your knees, pray to God and say, Lord, would you restore me to that position that I've fallen from? I've blown it, but I know you. And I know you can put that leadership back in my hand. I know you can give me that staff back again and say, lead on. Man, Peter was sitting there going, man, I didn't deserve this. I think Jesus would have said, you're right. You don't deserve it. You might be sitting there, John, you don't know how bad I've blown it. You're right. You don't deserve it. I'm right. I don't deserve it. It's a gracious relationship. Y'all get that? It's by grace. I'm here. This is the fourth story. It's not in the scripture except for prophesied that there will be people who are like me who will come to Christ through the word of God and the testimony of the apostles. Because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up wanting to know about Jesus. I didn't grow up somebody, you know, prepping me for ministry. I got saved because eventually I came in contact with the fact that there is a God, that he loved me enough to die for my sins, and that his son, Jesus Christ, is alive from the dead and that he would take me on. And when he did that, he changed my life. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. Do you need to give your life to Christ? Do you need a do-over? Do you need to say, I know I don't deserve it, but I need you in my life? That's what he does. Do you need hope where you have despair because your heart's broken? That's what he does. Do you need faith in the place where you're doubting because your box is too small to hold Jesus? Let him give you faith to throw away the box. That's what he does. Have you blown it so bad that you reckon you're never going to get another chance? Won't you come to him and let him restore you? Because that's what he does. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for how you love us. I thank you for your great mercy. And Lord, I pray that even right now, you'd be doing a work in the lives of those who are here, bringing hope from despair, faith from doubt, restoration and forgiveness from denial. Lord, we love you. Do this special work in us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you, we're going to sing a song of invitation. There may be something you need to do right now. Can I tell you, one of the reasons why we have an invitation at church, we have an invitation because if God told you to do something, if he's asked you to say, hey, you know you need to come for me to hope for hope and faith and restoration. If he told you now, you need to deal with it now. You know what's out there? Buffets. Easter dinner. It's out there. It's waiting for you. See, you think you're going to eat it, but as soon as you got out of church, it's going to consume your mind. It's going to be all your focus. It's going to be all you care about. Who's coming over? Are we ready? Is he going to shut up? What's going on? Can I tell you, if God made a move in your heart, would you take care of it? Would you give him priority before you go back out yonder? Would you give him the respect that he came and met with you today, he touched you, and that you're going to do something about it? Would you do that? This is your time during this song. You can come up here and kneel down and pray. You want me to pray with you, I'll be up front. But you come and do business with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Thank you.
transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And by his wounds,
God's working. He won't stop just because we leave. But just if God started something in you today, just faithfully follow it through. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come up to this morning's offering. And as they do, I'm just going to pray. Father, as you've poured out your grace and you've begun works in the lives of those and who even right now just recognize it, I pray, Father, that you'd give peace. You know, Paul said he wanted to know the power of the resurrection, and he's speaking personally in his life, in his heart, in his soul, his mind. And would you do that for us, for all those of us who we veer off, we go to the left, we go to the right, we wonder if we're prosperous or fruitful children who are pleasing to you? Would you take your grace and plant it deep in our heart so that we would know it's based on how pleased you are in Christ? And we'd gain the confidence to walk with you, to give, to pray, and that we'd have peace, peace that abounds understanding. When you came in that locked room and Thomas was there, you said, "Peace be with you." And Father, peace, give us peace today in our hearts. Not a false peace, not a false hope, but the hope that comes through Christ. And Lord, for this offering, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here.
Hey, praise God. Amen. Let's give him another shout out. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Man, just hey, be thankful. Right? Go home and be thankful. Eat. Get a mess on your shirt and be thankful. Loosen up the belt. Get in the recliner. Be thankful. All day long for what he's done. Let me pray for us. Father God, as we go, Father, just be with us. Remind us how it's only a living Savior that can save. It's only a living Lord that can lead. It's only a living Jesus Christ and a gracious relationship with him that gives us hope and faith and purpose and service and restoration and forgiveness. And Father, we want to claim all those things, even healing for our friends, that you can bring those who are declared dead back to life is such a great hope for me right now, this day. So, Lord God, we're just asking you, show yourself mighty. We give you all the glory in advance. It's all because of you, none because of us, all because of you. And we love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready, break.